Welcome to Coach Bennett's Podcast, where every run has a purpose, where kindness is hardcore, where this is about running, and this is not about running, where every starting line is a finish line in disguise, where rambling still gets you where you need to be, where pineapple will never ruin your pizza, and the sodas, adult and not adult kind, are always cold, and where there is room on the starting line for everybody. I'm Coach Bennett. Thank you for letting me be a part of your day. Let's get started. Welcome to another episode of Coach Bennett's Podcast. This is episode 45, entitled Some Questions for You. That's right. Not questions for me. Questions for you. We're flipping the script, baby. That's right. I'm asking you questions. Let's see how you like it. That's what episode 45 is all about, and I'm excited. In fact, my first question is, are you excited? Rhetorical question. The answer should be, yes, I'm excited. I can't wait to answer some questions, and I'll tell you what the inspiration for this episode is. I want you to be engaged. That's right. I want you to have some conversations with yourself. I want you to ask yourself some questions, because this is basically how it works. I ask you a question, and then you're going to think about the question and probably break that question down even more and ask some follow-up questions. So I want you having a conversation with yourself. And you know why this is great? Because it's practice. It's practice for a run. Because every run is really supposed to be a great conversation between your mind and your body. That's what it is. I mean, from a coaching standpoint, you could look at that. And then if you go a little bit deeper about what a running really is, it's an opportunity for you to have a conversation with yourself. Or if you're running with people, a conversation with other people. It doesn't need to be silence. And by the way, you can have noise amongst silence. That noise could just be internalized. It's that conversation, like I said, you're having with yourself. So this is, in a way, practice for your next run. How cool is that? Again, another question that isn't even part of the questions I'm going to be asking you. So are you ready to dive right in? I hope so, because the pool is filled and we're jumping in right now. First question, why do you want to run? Think about it. Why do you want to run? Not why do you need to run. Why do you want to run? And this is a loaded question that demands follow-up questions. So let's just say you give me some answer like, I want to run because I want to finish a marathon or a 10K, or I want to break 7 minutes in the mile or 4 minutes in the mile. The time doesn't matter. The question would be, well, why do you want to do that? Well, I want to finish a marathon because I want to achieve that accomplishment. That's what I want to do. Well, why do you want to achieve that accomplishment? And that's suddenly where we start getting into the interesting parts, right? Like, maybe it's because you want to feel accomplished. You want to feel confident. You want to feel like you can start something and see it all the way through. You want to break 5 minutes in the mile because you know if you break 5 minutes into the mile, you've got a good chance of making varsity next year. And you want to make varsity next year because you love this team and you want to be a part of this team and you want to help this team. You start digging a little deeper and we start getting deeper answers. So what I want you to do, and maybe this is something I should have said at the beginning, maybe write down the questions if you're sitting down, or go to the show notes because I'm going to list all the questions that I'm asking you, and maybe go through some of these answers again when you're done. Maybe this can be kind of like where we marinate some of the potential answers, or at least maybe some of the follow-up questions. So right now, just be thinking a little bit about why you want to run. Why do you want to run? And you can break it down any way you want. You can own this question and adjust it a little bit. Why do you want to run today? Why do you want to run for the rest of your life? why do you want to run consistently? You ask yourself. That's the first question. Yeah, all right. How does it feel being put on the hot seat, huh? You know, sending me all these questions to the mailbag and on DMs and when I see you out there in public. Yeah, well, now I'm turning it around. All right, you ready for the next question? That's not a question. Where is your favorite place to run? Now, I want you to really think about this. Don't go for an easy answer. I want you to go for the right answer. Sometimes it's the same. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes you just think about what your favorite place to run is recently. Or maybe you think about it in like nostalgic terms and you think about those first places that meant something to you when you were a child or maybe when you first started running. All right, but what I want you to do is then ask yourself, all right, is it really? And if it is, why? And is there another place that's maybe close or your favorite for totally different reasons? Because guess what? You can have favorite places to run. Even though I asked, what's your favorite place to run? I am not going to put on any type of confines to what your answer is or could be. If you want to name multiple places for multiple reasons, good for you. Do it. I'd much rather know you've got lots of different favorite places. This is my favorite place to run in the winter. It's my favorite place to run when I'm on vacation. This is my favorite place to run when I'm doing a really hard workout, a specific type of workout. This is my favorite track. This is my favorite loop. Not favorite. My favorite? That would be like maybe what you savor the most. I think we just invented a new word by accident. Woohoo! All right. My point is, if you want to expand the scope of this question, go for it. What's your favorite place to run? And again, you don't have to come up with the exact answer or answers right now because I have to move on. I have to move on to the other questions. I got a bunch of questions for you. So I'd love to park it here and give you some silence so you can maybe just hang out with your thoughts. But I'm not going to do that. We got to move on, right? Yeah, so let's move on. What's your favorite time of year to run? Now, this is a hard one for me. I know this isn't supposed to be about me. It's supposed to be about you, but I'm going to make it about me right now. It's a difficult one for me because there are parts of every single season I love to run in. Like in the winter, I'll tell you what, you know what my favorite run in the winter is? Cloudy, dry, cold. I love it. I don't like sunny, dry, and cold. I think that's just like a waste of sun. The winter, I like it cloudy and I like it cold. Because for me, there's like a threat, and it's not even a threat. It's like a flirtation of potential snow, and that excites me. But I like when it's cold. And I like coming in and my face is all ruddy and, you know, it's just, there's something so purifying about a really good, cold, cloudy run. Now, in the spring, what I love is a mild temperature and sunny. I love it. Now, towards the end of the run, I'll even sprinkle in the threat of a thunderstorm. The sky starts to get a little funky. The run is ending. And I realize I just made it. I can now go inside, chill out, stretch, and listen to the thunder and watch the lightning. I love thunderstorms. Just make sure you're not running in them. All right. Thunderstorms are best watched from the inside, not outside on a run. All right. Don't be stupid. Safety first, safety last, always. Now, in the summer, it's different. The summer is different because part of me loves the idea of like a late morning run. You know what I mean? Not super early, late morning where you know you're going to beat the heat, but the birds are starting to come out and you know that you've got the rest of the day ahead of you. You just know it. Now, I will also say, depending on where I'm at in the summer, I also kind of like early evening runs because there's something glorious about that too. Now, in my head, I'm usually running on the boardwalk. And if it's the fall, there has to be leaves on the ground, dry leaves. Now, here in the Pacific Northwest, there's no such thing as dry leaves on the ground anymore. By the time the leaves have fallen off, we have gone into like our 8 month rain situation. So it's always soggy leaves. I love the sound of running on dry leaves on a trail because it's fall. It's cross country season. So you got to be on the trail. So that's me personally. I just went off there for a little while. That's okay because I'm buying you some time to think about what's your favorite time of year to run. Now, again, you can switch this up and adapt it and say, guess what? I don't want to answer that question. I want to answer what's my favorite type of run each time of year. That's a cool answer too. You know, more love, I like it. More favorites, I'm down with it. So again, you want to adapt the question to make it fit what you want to answer? Go for it, baby. Remember, it's not the training plan that makes up coaching. It's adaptions and adjustments to the training plan that makes up some coaching. All right, next, speaking of tracks and trails, kind of sort of speaking of tracks and trails, you got to choose track or trail. What is it? Track or trail? Now, there's two parts to this question. It's not just choosing. What do you like to do more? Go for a run on the trails or do a track workout? I also then want you to answer, why didn't you pick the other one? Okay, so if your answer is trails, well, why didn't you pick the track? What don't you like about the track as much as the trails? If you chose the track and said, ooh, I love working out on the track. I love doing intervals, short intervals, long intervals, all sorts of stuff on the track. I love speed work. Okay, fine. Well, why didn't you choose trails? What is it about trails that maybe comes in second to the track? And also, what is it about the track that makes it come in first? So there's two parts to that, track or trails, okay? You think about it and you answer it. All right, next, what's the worst life advice you've ever been given? Not running advice, although, yes, a lot of life advice can be construed as running advice, and a lot of running advice can be construed, and rightly so, as life advice. But let's just park this in strictly life advice, all right? What's the worst life advice you've ever been given? It doesn't matter when you were given it. You could have been 5 years old. You could be 50 years old. You could be 105. What's the worst life advice you've ever been given, and why? What made it so bad? Now, did you also, here's a couple of like follow-up questions here that I'd be interested. Did you know it was terrible life advice when it was given to you? Or did you have to live a little bit more life to figure out this is terrible life advice? See, to me, that would be interesting to know. Like, did you live some of this advice at first and be like, wait a minute, this is crap life advice? Because I'll tell you what, there's so much bad advice out there. Now, if you know it's bad, it can actually be good advice because you know what not to do. You know what I mean? But you got to know. So, what's the worst life advice you've ever been given? And did you know it was bad life advice when you got it? Or did you have to live some life to figure it out? That's a good one. And I'll tell you what, let me just say this here. I would love to know some of your answers. I would love to know some of your answers. So you know what I might do? I might put up on Instagram this episode as a post and say, hey, answer some of your questions. I'd love to know them. Yes, that's what I'm going to do. So look for a post probably tomorrow. I'm traveling though tomorrow. I'm heading back east to New Jersey for a couple of things, which I'm super excited about. And I'm going to actually, my whole family's going to be together, which is also super awesome. I'm really excited about that. So anyway, but I will try to put it up and check for that on Instagram and share some of your answers or all of your answers or one of your answers. Or if you don't feel like it, share none of your answers, okay? All right, next question. Who was slash is the best teammate you've ever had? Who was slash is the best teammate you've ever had? Now, again, you can adapt this to the way you want to answer it. So maybe you say, the best teammate I had in the past is so-and-so, and the best teammate I have now is so-and-so. Maybe it's the same person. You know what I mean? Or maybe the best teammate you've ever had is the only one you want to answer, and they are a current teammate, or they're a former teammate. And keep in mind, a teammate does not have to be someone that shares the same jersey as you. It's someone who is a teammate to you in life. Yes, you could say strictly, I'm going to base this on athletic teams, or you know, it could be a teammate that was in band with you. It could be a teammate that you worked with. The teammate could be a family member. You get to decide how you're defining teammate, but I'd like to know who was or is the best teammate you've ever had. And follow-up question, why? What made them such a great teammate? I want you to spend a little extra time on this one. What made the best teammate you ever had the best teammate you ever had? Really think about it. Write it down. Why were they such a great teammate to you? And then think about what you can learn from that, how you can bring that into other aspects of your life. Do you reciprocate this behavior with other people in your life? Are you a great teammate, like this person was a great teammate to you? It's a really valuable exercise, I think. It's a really great one. And especially if there are any coaches out there, it really does help when you sit down with your team and you ask them to write down who's the best teammate on the team. Why? Get all the answers. The next day, say, how are you like that teammate? And how can you become more like that teammate to other teammates? Just a great exercise. Just throwing it out there. You don't have to do what I say. You never have to do what I say. You're in charge. But I'm just saying, it's a good exercise if you're the coach. It's also a good exercise if you're just a teammate on the team. It might be fun and really inspiring in many ways to do this amongst your teammates, to talk about what you each value in each other as great teammates, and hopefully inspire each of you to become better teammates to each other. You can always be a better teammate, always, which is what's so exciting about a team. As great as a team can be, it can be better. All right, let's keep moving on. What's the hardest thing you've ever done? What's the hardest thing you've ever done? And again, you make this question the question you want to answer. It could be, what's the hardest thing you've ever done in sports? It could be, what's the hardest thing you've ever done in running specifically? It could be, what's the hardest thing you've ever done in a relationship, at work? What's the hardest thing you've ever done in life? You get to decide. But the follow-up to this question is, how are you able to do it? How are you able to do such a hard thing? And I want you to spend time with that, because it's going to force you to do a couple things. One, admit you can do hard things, which is really valuable, super valuable. It also will force you to break down how you were able to do it so you can see all of the things you did to make it happen. It will also force you to look at all of the different decisions you needed to make on the way to making it happen. And it will also show you all the traits you have that you called upon to make it happen. Traits that you can call upon again when something else hard comes up, because you've proven already you can do hard things. So what's the hardest thing you've ever done? Think about it. Think about those follow-up questions. How are you able to do it? And spend time with this one. Seriously. I know I'm giving you all this homework. It's like, dude, I agreed to listen to your podcast. It says it's whatever, 30 minutes or whatever it's going to be. I'm not sure what it's going to be. And now you're giving me all this stuff to do? Well, you can do it when you're sitting in traffic. You can do it when you're sitting in the bath. You can do it when you're stretching. You can do it on a run. You can do it when you want to do it. But just do it. All right? Come on. Just do it. All right. Next question. Do you dance differently when you're alone? Now, be honest, do you dance differently when you're alone? So now here's two parts here. One, do you dance when you're alone? And then two, do you dance when you're in front of other people? Now, if the answer to both of these or either of these is no, you got to ask yourself, well, why not? And I will challenge you. If you don't dance while you're alone, dance while you're alone. Do it. It's fun. and it's incredible exercise. You want to work your cardio. You want to work side-to-side movement. I mean, it is really, really great to just dance your ass off every once in a while. And listen, it doesn't have to be in front of other people, but at least try dancing alone. Then follow-up challenge, because we're just full of challenges today. Dance in front of other people if you have an opportunity. Do it. And believe me, you have an opportunity. You don't need to be at like a wedding to dance. You can dance whenever you want to. You can dance. You can dance whenever you want. I was going to start quoting the safety dance, but that ship has sailed. The moment was there, and I was going to say you can dance if you want to. I was then going to say you can leave your friends behind, because if your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friend of mine. But moving on, answer those two questions. Do you dance differently when you're alone compared to when you're with people? Then follow-up challenge, if you don't dance alone, and dance in front of other people, and then see. And then ask yourself, if you dance differently, why? And what else in your life do you do differently when you're in front of people than when you're alone? And this doesn't have to be weird. Don't get weird. The point is, are we truly ourselves in front of other people? And if we're not, why? Why not? Because I'll tell you what, there's a really good chance you're a better dancer when you're alone. Because a lot of people, when I see dancing in public, like, you're just thinking too much. You're just thinking too much. Just dance. Just have some fun. The people who I consider, and I am by no means an expert on dancing, but the people who I personally enjoy watching dance the most are the ones who are just having the most fun, who are the most free, who I truly feel have no idea that anyone is watching them. That's some badass dancing. Could you imagine if we were a little bit more free in the rest of our lives, like those people who dance like no one else is around? And follow-up question, what's your favorite song to dance to when you're alone? Maybe add that in there. Like, what's a go-to and what would you recommend? Follow-up question. What song would you recommend? It's like, this is a banger. Listen to this. You have to dance. It's impossible not to dance when you put this on, because I'm into that. Maybe I'll share some of my favorite dance songs. Ooh, maybe that'll be my favorite. Maybe that'll be my next edition of the Coach Bennett's mixtape, because right now it's all cover songs. Maybe it'll be songs that I love to dance to. Doesn't mean you're going to love dancing to them. These are songs I love to dance to. Ooh, there we go. And not everything has to be wild and out of control. Sometimes it's nice to dance slow. All right, next one. All right, here we go. If you were tasked with making one meal for a group of 7 to 10 people you care about, okay, what would you make and why? Okay, the question is, because I kind of edited it while I was saying it, if you were tasked with making a meal for 7 to 10 people you really cared about, what would the meal be and why? Now listen, it doesn't matter if you're a great cook or a great chef. It doesn't matter. The point is, what meal would you make for 7 to 10 people you really care about? And I personally think the seasoning of love, which just means you care about these people, and it means you're excited about making the dish. It means that, you know, you can taste that. People can taste it when you've worked hard towards something, when it matters to you that this dish is for them. So if you were tasked with making one meal for a group of 7 to 10 people you cared about, what would it be? Me personally, I'm kind of torn. There's a couple of dishes I do well, but I'm going to go with the staple. If you've gone on runs with me, you know what the answer is. It's spaghetti and meatballs. You don't have to have the meatballs if you don't want, but they're fantastic. Spaghetti and meatballs. And I'm going to make garlic bread. Oh, the garlic bread is to die for. I don't want you to die for it, though. Oh, the garlic bread, it's so good. It's so good. And maybe someday, yes, I will share the recipe in like a cooking show type video. You can let me know if you'd be interested in that. That would be kind of fun. Like a little 30-minute video where I show you how I make my spaghetti and meatballs and garlic bread? Maybe. We'll see. If we get enough people asking for it, maybe I'll do it. Okay. Next question. We're moving so quickly. I don't feel bad for that. I feel good about that. You know? I think it's good. I don't want you right now to be coming up with these answers too quickly. I want you to have to go back and actually sit with this. Maybe listen to this a second time. I don't know. You're in charge. If you could set one big goal for your running right now, what would it be? If you could set one big goal for your running right now, what would it be? Ooh, that's a good one. One big goal. Now, it can be a number of different things. It could be a certain race. It could be a certain standard, meaning time, distance, duration, something like that. It could be consistency, meaning the amount of times you're running and how consistently you're doing it. Like, your big goal would be, I usually run like once a week or twice every 2 weeks, something like that. But I really like to run two or three times a week consistently for the next couple of months. I mean, that's a great goal. It could be that you want to start showing up more at the run crew that meets every Tuesday nights. So you want to be showing up there. Maybe it's you want to explore the trail network in this new town that you live in. What's the big goal for your running right now? It has to be something that excites you, that you're passionate about. I don't want some milquetoast, boring, sterile, like, I want to do this. Like, I want something that gives you butterflies, excites you, makes you a little nervous, gets you fired up. That's what I want. So what's one big to you? It's kind of scary. Maybe you're not going to be able to accomplish it. What's one big running goal for you right now? Follow-up question, why is it not your goal right now? Why haven't you set it as your goal? And it's okay. Sometimes there are legitimate answers. Like, I'm in school right now. I don't have the time. My work doesn't allow for it right now. I'm new to this city. I don't know enough people or places to run right now. Okay, that's all fine. So the follow-up question to that would be, how can you set yourself up to go after this goal sooner rather than later? Now, if you don't have a legitimate reason for not going after this goal, then it's a different question entirely. Why not? Why not? How about at the end of this, it is your new goal? Your big, scary, kick-ass, badass goal. Maybe it is. So think about it. That's why a lot of times the question's good, the follow-up questions are even better. So think about it, all right? Now remember that first question, if you could set one big goal for your running right now, what would it be? Then you got those follow-up questions. Why not? And if it's legitimate, okay. What can we do to work within this framework, this reality, to maybe alleviate some of those things so you could go after this goal sooner rather than later? Or if you don't have any legitimate reasons for not going after this goal right now, why not go after it right now? Ask yourself that. How cool would that be? The end of this episode, we got a ton of people either setting themselves up to be able to go after these big goals sooner rather than later, or going after the goal right now. Woo! That would be awesome. So let me know if, in fact, by the end of this episode, you've decided to set yourself up to go after it soon or go after it now. All right? Nice. I'm fired up. I got to think about what a big goal would be for me. Like, what freaks me out a little bit in a really good way? Anyway, I'm going to think about it too when this is done. Okay. Last question. I can't believe we're already here. We're like 30 minutes in, I think. I mean, it's hard to tell right now because there's been some stumbles here and I'm going to have to edit a few things out. Not many, though, but we're going to be like 30 minutes already. This went by so fast. Oh, my goodness. All right, last question. I'm rambling. This is how we fill up too much time. I ramble. So, rambling done. Last question. Who in your life do you most believe needs an invitation to a starting line? Who in your life do you believe most needs an invitation to a starting line? Who is that person? Who is that person that most needs an invitation to a starting line? Now, again, it might be a starting line to a run. It might be a starting line to a challenge, like a 10K that's a couple months down the road. It could be an invitation to a starting line of a new class that you think they need to take, or a book that you think that they really should read. But who in your life needs something? Some type of invitation to a starting line, to start something, to begin something. Who in your life most needs that invitation to a starting line, to start something, begin something? Think about it and then invite them. Yes, you invite them to a starting line. Whatever may be on the other side of that line, it's good for them. Invite them. Because a lot of times what's keeping them from the starting line is nothing more than knowing they belong there. They have a spot there. That someone is ready to share the space next to them on that line. That person could be you. You could be the one that makes all of those things known to them. And guess what happens next? They cross the starting line. And something new happens. They begin again. How powerful is that? So think about who that person is. And then invite them. Be the reason. Be the person. Be the excuse. Be the invitation for them to cross the starting line. That's the last question of episode 45. And here we are, where I get to say thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for rating. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being with me. And please, until next time, as always, take care of yourself, take care of each other, and I'll meet you on the next starting line. Thank you so much for listening to Coach Bennett's podcast today. And if you're not already following or subscribed to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening, well, I really wish you would because it helps a lot. Also, check out the show notes because you'll find a link to Coach Bennett's newsletter as well as all the social media sites that I'm on. Places like Threads and Facebook and Instagram and Mastodon and YouTube and even the artist formerly known as Twitter, whatever that dumpster fire is called today. You'll find a link to it because I'm on there. Thank you so much again for listening. And until next time, take care of yourself.